capturing information about life with keratoconus. I'm your host, Dr. Melissa Barnett. We are so happy to have Carl Domke of McKinney, Texas with us today. Carl is this year's winner of the World KC Day Photo Contest. Congratulations, Carl.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me in.
Yes, you have some amazing photos. The judges picked your submission, which layers three different photos together, and the finished product shows you holding a lens with a clear view of a landscape inside the lens, and outside the lens, the view is very blurry. In your submission, you wrote, "Without this little lens, my life would have been much different." Can you tell us how you came up with the idea to create this photo?
Well, you know, it's 80 years experience, I guess, or 60 years with the contact lens. It's kind of a love-hate relationship. It isn't quite that bad, but hard contacts are difficult. You know, they were a blessing to my generations when we first got contact lenses.
How old were you when you first got contact lenses?
I was heavy into scouting, and I had gone on a scout trip to the National Scout Camp down in New Mexico, about 900 miles away, and I was fine. But coming back, riding the bus, looking out the windows for that long trip, I noticed my right eye was getting blurry. So I got home, and Mom and Dad took me to a ophthalmologist, and he was a family friend, so he took quite a bit of time, and he looked at it. He was able to fit glasses over my eyes. It was only my right eye, but he fit me for glasses, and he said, "I think you've got keratoconus, but we're going to try glasses for now and see how it goes, see if it progresses at all." And so we tried glasses, and within 3 months, they were blurry. And we got back in with him again, and he said, "Carl, you're going to have to go to contact lenses." I didn't know anything about contacts, you know, so we tried on contacts.
How old were you when you were diagnosed with keratoconus?
I was a teen, and I just turned 16 the next month, so it was basically 16 years old, just going into 10th grade in high school.
In high school. So at that time, what sort of contact lenses did you wear? Were they PMMA lenses? Were they the hard lenses?
They were just plastic lenses. There was nothing magic about them. He tried on a few lenses that, you know, they have a trial pack at the office. And I tried on a few of them. And we found one that fit pretty well. And I wore that. It was a clear lens. We didn't add any correction to it. I wore that probably for 3 or 4 years without correction. That's all I needed was just that contact lens over the surface.
And how have things changed over the years? Have you had different types of lenses? Did you eventually need a corneal transplant?
During my high school times, I stayed with that one, just a clear lens. And my left eye also became affected with keratoconus. So I wore two lenses, but they were just clear lenses. I wore those probably through most of college. And then at some point in college, they began to put some correction into the lens. But they were just always just a straight lens. We didn't have anything else that I know of. At some point, probably after my first corneal transplant in the 90s or in the late 80s, is the first time I heard of them using a stepped or graduated curve inside the lens to fit my eye.
And what sort of lenses do you wear now?
They are a stepped curve lens. I don't know. It's just that one little bit beyond a normal contact lens. I don't have anything else.
Got it. So getting back to your photograph, it's absolutely amazing. How did you come up with the idea for the winning photograph?
Every day, I try to walk. I probably only make it 3 or 4 times a week, but in my subdivision where I live, I'm in the Dallas area in Texas. And we have a pond in our subdivision. It's probably about a half a mile around, a nice walk. So I get out and I try to walk a mile and a half, 2 miles a day, 3 or 4 days a week. And I walk that pond every day. And there are ducks out there, and blue herons, green herons, a few geese once in a while in this early spring. Quite a few fishermen out there, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful area. I love the outdoors. I have lived in the outdoors. As I told you, I was a Boy Scout when I was young, and the outdoors is my place. As a matter of fact, when I walk, a lot of people nowadays walk with earbuds, and they have their radios on and music playing, and you walk by them and say hello. They don't even respond to you. They're in another world, but not me. I have to hear what's going on. I have to hear the nature. I have to see the birds and know what's going on around me. It really helps, too. A lot of times, I only wear one contact lens, and so I don't see very well with the other one. I really need to keep alert as to what's going on and around. You just don't know. We have bobcats in the area. We have coyotes. We have stray dogs that are running. You have to stay alert. You know, I'm now getting a little weaker and a little less stable, and you have to be aware of what's going on and around. When I walk that pond, at the very end of it is a chair or a bench to sit on there at the lake, and that's exactly where I took the picture from. I sit there every day. I look down the lake. There is that fountain in the lake that helps keep the lake fresh in the summertime when we have this tremendous heat. And I look at that and I see that fountain, and I relate that to my contact lens. The contact lens has given me that ability to see that vision, to see that sight. And I picture myself kind of like putting my hand up. I mean, how many times do we do that with that contact lens on it? It doesn't really stand quite that direction, but it's the way I see it coming into my eye when I put my contact lens in every morning, and maybe during the day I have to take it out and clean it and put it back in again. It's a constant thing with contact lenses. But that's what I see, and I know that contact lens gave me a lot of the things I have. I would not have gotten through high school without that lens. We were right at the edge of getting contact lenses in 1959. Yes. I don't know even how long they've been around, but they're difficult. And if I didn't have that lens, I wouldn't have made it through high school. It wouldn't have happened. And as a result, you know, I've been able to do a lot of things. My doctor at the time when he diagnosed me at SKC, especially when you get out of the office and you have to go back and forth a lot to see the doctor, and he's watching the curvature of my eye and how it's progressing, you think about the big question: am I going to lose my eyesight? How far will this go? Am I going to be blind? You know, these things go through your head, especially as a 16-year-old. Where am I going with this? You know, and he was a family friend.
And did you think at the time, how is this going to affect my life?
Oh, yes. When you're told something about your eyes, you know, that's what you immediately go to. No, I would have gotten along okay, I think. That doesn't mean it's the end of life. I don't mean to say that. But it would have been certainly different. It would have been a different life. And my doctor told me that, Carl, he said, this is a progressive thing. In most cases, it will stop. It will go so far and stop. As a matter of fact, in many cases, it's not even diagnosed because it doesn't go far enough. And people don't even know they have it. But in your case, it is progressing, and then it will maybe stop, and you won't have any problem. You have to wear contact lenses. But he said there is possible, maybe in 20 years, you'll have to have a corneal transplant. And of course, 16-year-old boy, you know, now what's going to happen? A corneal transplant. Right. Kind of frightening. But yes. He said, don't worry about it. You're not going to go blind. There are things happening in research and things happening with this condition that is that they're progressing, and you're going to be fine. We're just going to keep watching it and be aware of what you have and be careful with it. And that's really, really was the best advice, maybe in 20 years. Of course, that 20 years stuck in my mind. I'm now 80 years old, and I remember that pretty clearly. And as you see in the records there, I did have a corneal transplant. I went through school, and I became a civil engineer. I had a job with a very large steel fabricator in Chicago. And I was a designer for them and began to move around the country as a contracting manager. And I got up into New York. I was living in Philadelphia, working in New York. And my boss, or actually the man I worked with, he told me, "Carl, we have a tremendous hospital in Philadelphia that with your eyesight and with your eye problems, you need to go see them. It is the Will's Eye Hospital. I believe it's the oldest eye hospital in the country. And you're right in their backyard. Go down and talk to them." And so I did. And I was with them for about a year, and they thought it was time for me to have a corneal transplant. As my doctor had told me, he said, two things can happen. Number one, the cornea gets so steep that the contact lenses you're wearing become difficult to wear for long periods. And the other thing can happen with the steepness, your cornea may get so thin, it becomes very dangerous to wear. And then what had happened was I was only being able to wear my lens probably till about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to get it out. So the Will's Eye Hospital recommended corneal transplants. Now, back in that day, we had to get in line. It was a waiting period because the corneas were not available. So they told me it would be probably 3 to 6 months before I could get one. But they would put me on the waiting list and call me when they had one. Well, that sounds great, but you sit someplace for 3 months and think about it as to what's going to happen. What will it end up? What will you have when you get this lens? And so I went 2 months, and I knew I was getting close to that time period. So I began to get a fear to answer the phone in the morning. If the phone rang, I wouldn't answer it. I'm just not ready. I gotta wait just a little bit yet. And finally, I was going to go to work with another employee, and I were friends. And he said, "Carl, I'll drive you in tomorrow." The phone rang in the morning, and I said, "Oh, he can't make it. Something's happened." So I answered the phone, and there was the doctor. And I took a deep breath, and he said, "This is Dr. Aronson. We've got a cornea for you. We think this is the time to do it." And I said, "Oh, I've got work at the office. I'm not sure I can make it this week. Let's just put it off till you get the next one." It's that 3 month time period. It's just this builds in your mind. And he said, "Well, Carl," he said, "this cornea is 25 years old. He said, "I think this is a tremendous opportunity for you." I was 38, maybe 35. He said, "I think this is a great opportunity." He said, "This one's 25 years old, and I think it's the one you should have." So I said, "I'll be there in an hour and a half." That was the end. I mean, we got in there, and wow. At that time, the transplants were much different than they are now. This was going to be a 3-day deal. I was in a room with another man, a young man who was around 21, 22. He got the other eye. We were in together, so we talked to each other. And they took us both in, and then we got our transplants, and we stayed overnight. And the next morning, they got us up. Now, the Will's Eye Hospital is a teaching hospital. So they take us into the room, and they've got students in the room along with them. You know, so they unwrap the bandages very dramatically, and then he just pops you into the chair with a microscope in front of you. And they shine that bright light right in your eye. You've just had this operation. Your cornea has been replaced, and they put this bright light in your eye. And then every student has to look at the same thing. And you kind of wonder, wow, this is really trying. We could see well, you know, not 100%, but it was really pretty good. And then we stayed over another night, and then they released us. I could have driven home, although my parents had flown in, and they took me home back up in North Philadelphia. And we got home, and then, of course, the stitches are still in the eye. And back then, they didn't take the stitches out until they broke, which they estimated would be in the first year to 2 years. So we had the stitches in the eye, but it eventually broke, and they came out wonderful. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. And then once the stitches were out, they put the contact lens on, and I could see perfect. It was wonderful. It was such a relief.
That is wonderful. And you're absolutely right that corneal transplants have changed so much over the years. And we have so many advances in the technique for corneal transplants. The other great news is with corneal collagen cross-linking, we can stabilize the cornea to prevent the need for corneal transplantation. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And I encourage all of our listeners to take a look at your photos because they are fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on Clearly KC. Please listen to all the episodes of the Clearly KC podcast on Podbean or your favorite podcast app to subscribe and get future episodes. For now, I'm Dr. Melissa Barnett. See you next time on Clearly KC.